Welcome to the Science Update Podcast. I'm Bob Hirshon, and this is the podcast for October 18th, 2013.
The Science Update Podcast is produced by AAAS, advancing science, serving society.
Anything that moves in the world during this tenth of a second, by the time the information from the eye gets there, this information is already out of date.
You can visualize through the screen of the phone individual viruses.
The sense of urgency engendered in those messages is precisely to make you not think.
What a great author does is pull us into a situation where we really have to use our capacity to understand other people to its fullest extent.
This week, can literary fiction make us more socially astute? Why some people still fall for email spam? And how cell phones are transforming rural medicine? But first, correspondent Justin Warner tells us how sluggers' eyes can track fastballs in time to hit them.
With Major League fastballs sometimes topping 100 miles an hour, it's a wonder anyone ever gets a hit. Even more so when you realize that signals from the eye take about a tenth of a second to reach the brain. By that time, a fastball will have already traveled 10 feet or more. Psychologist Garrett Mouse of the University of California at Berkeley studies how the brain processes motion. He explains that this split-second lag from the eye to the brain is a problem we all deal with on a daily basis.
During that time, of course, the world doesn't stand still. So anything that moves in the world during this tenth of a second, by the time the information from the eye gets there, this information is already out of date.
In other words, if we had to rely on the visual signal alone, we'd be unable to drive cars, swat flies, or even pour coffee. So to compensate, the brain actually stays one step ahead of the eyes.
And the brain actually does this by predicting, by analyzing the motion that it sees in the visual scene and calculating where things should be by the time that this information is actually perceived.
So when a batter watches a pitch, he sees the ball where his brain predicts it should be right now, not where his eyes said it was a tenth of a second ago. Since our brains are quite good at this calculation, that's usually where the ball actually is.
Thanks, Justin. Reading certain kinds of fiction can help you read people's emotions in real life. This according to David Kidd and Emmanuel Castano of the New School for Social Research. Their volunteers participated in a psychological test called Theory of Mind, in which they tried to gauge emotions from close-ups of someone else's eyes. Kidd says that those who had just read literary fiction with complex, ambiguous characters and storytelling performed much better on the test than those who read plot-driven stories, nonfiction, or nothing at all.
What a great author does is pull us into a situation where we really have to use our capacity to understand other people to its fullest extent.
Kidd and Castano hope their work will be seen as concrete evidence that supporting literature in schools and in society at large has real benefits. Next, email spam filters are getting better and better. But at some point, we've all received something suspicious. Suzanne Bard reports on why we sometimes still fall for the bait despite our better judgment.
You receive a mysterious email from a friend who claims to be stranded in the Philippines without money or a passport. You might not be inclined to wire money, but according to computer security expert Stefan Savage of UC San Diego, spam emails like this keep on coming because they're big moneymakers for online scammers, taking advantage of the trust built up between friends.
Lots of people send money because there's a lot of trust built up into the relations that people have online, particularly when they hear from someone they know. It could just be 1%, but when you have, you know, 100,000 accounts you've taken over, that's a lot of people who are sending money.
And he says emails about mysterious packages or other urgent matters are successful because they're disorienting.
The sense of urgency engendered in those messages is precisely to make you not think, well, should I be expecting anything from Federal Express right now? Why are they sending this to me? All of the kinds of questions that would lead you to say, I probably shouldn't be clicking on this link.
Savage says to avoid becoming the spammer yourself, be sure to create a different password for every website you use and sign up for two-step authentication if your email provider offers it. He says there are also services that will create highly secure encrypted passwords for you and enter them automatically when you need them.
Thanks, Suzanne. In 2008, Science Update first reported on using mobile phones as medical tools. Since then, the field now known as mHealth has exploded. Larry Chang is Associate Director of the Global mHealth Initiative at Johns Hopkins University. They're working on a dozen projects in 10 different countries. In India, for example, smartphones walk healthcare workers through a screening test for oral cancer. Then, the screener can take pictures of the patient's mouth.
And then these images are sent back to a central facility or to experts in the States to evaluate to see if there are any suspicious lesions which are concerning for oral cancer. And based upon that, the patient can be triaged in different ways.
Other projects in the initiative use smartphones to track malaria in Zambia, manage immunizations in Bangladesh, and monitor water quality in the Amazon. And one group of researchers has designed a microscope attachment for a smartphone. Suzanne has that story.
A lightweight attachment can turn a smartphone into a powerful fluorescent microscope. Eidoan Erzcan, a professor at the UCLA School of Engineering, is leading its development. The attachment enables an ordinary smartphone to detect incredibly tiny particles.
You can visualize through the screen of the phone individual viruses, which are on the order of 100 to 200 nanometers, extremely small. And just to give you an idea, the human hair diameter is on the order of 100,000 nanometers.
That's not to say you can just snap a picture of the virus. The attachment lights up a liquid or solid sample with a laser and captures fluorescent light from the particles it's looking for. The device weighs about 6.5 ounces. Potential applications range from detecting disease-causing germs to scanning for traces of bomb material.
Thanks, Suzanne. Well, that's our show for this week. Next week, could old ships become new habitats? And using autonomous underwater vehicles to search for sunken treasure. Until then, tune into the Science Update Podcast Daily Edition every day, Monday through Friday. You can find it on our website, scienceupdate.com, or at iTunes. You can also check out Science Update's fan page on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. And if you have a science question, give us a call at 1-800-WHY-IS-IT. If we use your question, we'll send you a Science Update mug. Thanks for listening. I'm Bob Hirshon for AAAS, the Science Society.